I'd like to say good morning to everyone. We're very thankful this morning to have each and every person on the call, especially those of you who may not be members of the Church of Christ. I want you to know you are very honored guests and special guests of the call. We pray now you open your Bible and follow along as we study from the Word of God. In the Church of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. In order for one to be saved, they must believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on Calvary, shed his blood, and washed our sins away in baptism, the same blood purchased. His church, the only one you ever read about in the Bible, that is the Church of Christ. To our fellow sisters and brothers across the nation who may be listening to our call this morning, we welcome you to our worship services via online. And we just ask you to continue to pray for us as we are hoping to get back in our building after the construction is completed. We'll continue to do the online until the construction is completed. We're just about to end our study of the book of Acts. So if you turn to Acts chapter 28, we'll go there. Got one more lesson from there, and then we'll be going to the book of Hebrews. So we actually start reading Hebrews, and it'd be a great study for us to do. And Brother Stroud, we'll be doing the James, book of James in the afternoon. So two books there you can be studying ahead, and you'll learn more if you read before we teach from those particular books and chapters. Yeah, in chapter 28 of Acts, we know that Paul is on a ship. And I've talked about how last week we talked about this ship, and if you got to stay on the ship in order to be saved, and everyone made it safely. We talk about that ship being the church. You got to stay in the church. That's what the message was last week. Now, today, the title is "He Shook Off the Beast." He shook off the beast. In chapter 28, verse 1, the Bible says, "When they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita." Melita. Now, that they escaped home by staying on the ship, as Paul commanded it, and all of them landed safely on this island of Melita. This ship has wrecked on this island, but no harm or danger came to any of the passengers, as Paul has prophesied. He told them that no one will have been hurt. Someone rode in to ship to shore on boards and planks, however they made it to the shore safely. That's what my emphasis was last week. If you just do what the Lord says, was commanded to him by the doctrine of Christ, the apostles' teaching of the New Testament, no hurt, harm, or danger will come to you on your journey to heaven. How many on the call can truly say your course of life would end with no harm, hurt, or danger to your soul at this point? How many can say that you have listened to the commands of God and obeyed them? My question is your life on a course to wreck and will end with your soul being lost? This is where you got to think in order to enjoy this lesson this morning. I mean, on the call this morning can say I'm ready to listen to God. At some point in your life, you don't have to listen to God's word in order to avoid spiritual damnation or wrecking of your life. Now, these people on this ship only survived because they listened to the Apostle Paul's command and stayed on the ship to avoid death. And at some point in your life, if you're going to save your soul before you die, you have to recognize your wrongs and shake off the beast. Change your mind. Shake off the beast that's going to cause you to avoid damnation. Not to avoid damnation. You've got to shake this beast off in order to avoid it. None of us can change our course in life until we shake off the beast. Change our minds and start doing what the Lord told us. Shake off the beast is an emphasis on putting on this lesson this morning to get you to think about what you have to do in order to avoid dying in your sins. In verse 2, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. Remember, this is Apostle Paul on the ship, Luke writing about it. He's on there with him. Luke's on there with him. For they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. So not everybody in the world, you all, is cold-hearted. Here are some barbarous people, also known as foreigners. They don't know Paul, and according to literal translation, it's called foreigners. These people showed kindness to Paul and the men on the ship because of the rain and the cold water that they knew they had. They knew they had shipwreck come in on the shore, so these people started showing kindness. They helped them by building a fire to warm them. Now, what can we learn from this? Even though we live in a world of wickedness, barbarians or foreigners, God will always provide for his children. He can use people who don't know you to help you Remember, when you struggle in this wicked world, that God is still in control. He will put foreigners, strangers in your life to bless you. In turn, God will provide you an opportunity to bless them back. Question is, how many have been blessed by someone that you knew little about? Think about that. Who has blessed your life that you really didn't know nothing about? No doubt some of you, someone on your job may have taught you the truth and have saved your soul. That's a special foreigner in your life. For me, Brother Thomas Foster, Brother Bob Adams, Brother Vincent Smith, men that knew little about me. These men all loved me, taught me the truth, and raised me up as a babe in Christ. I have a great debt to them. The gentlemen, they knew nothing about me, but because they blessed my life. They blessed my life by sharing the gospel with me and teaching me the fundamentals of what to do in order to stay saved. What should we do? What should we be doing? Have you blessed anyone with your life? We should be blessing others. There ought to be someone in my life, someone listening to me today, that's a member of the Church of Christ because of Brother Brooks. I bless your life, but I can only bless you because there were foreigners or strangers who came into my life and blessed me. I can recall several conversations with young men and people who come into my life that I knew nothing about. But because they came and listened to me week after week, they would obey the gospel. And then they let me know it was because of me. And that's a great feeling. It's a great blessing to know that you've helped someone. And that's something all of us should treasure. The people, number one, the people who, the foreigners who came in our life and blessed us. The greatest blessing we can receive can be the truth. The greatest blessing that any of us can be given is the truth. What we must do to save our soul. Maybe you're on a call today and you're not a member of the Church of Christ. Or you heard me speak. You're listening to me today. And you've been listening. But I can be the greatest blessing in your life if you would take heed to the Word of God as I teach you. Is there somebody on the call who's blessed by being on the call today? Is someone on the call could say, I'm blessed because I met Brother so-and-so or Brother Sister so-and-so, and they brought me in and they taught me, or they shared the gospel. A person who didn't know me, didn't know my background, didn't know nothing about me. Those are the kind of people who won't prejudge you. They know that you need Jesus, and they understand that they needed Jesus, and they introduce him to you. That's a special person in your life. Perhaps it could be a foreigner, a barbarous person, as the Bible referred to these people that Paul knew them. Let's go back to the Bible now. In verse 3, when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Viper's a snake. When the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffered not to live. You see here? These people, these foreigners, don't know nothing about Paul. We're watching Paul's behavior. Now remember, in our lives, the people who don't know us are watching our behavior as those who profess to be Christians or to be a child of God. Oh, yeah. See, look, on your job, foreigners to the truth are watching how you conduct yourself at work. In your neighborhood, people who live next door to you, they know you're a Christian. They know something has happened, some change in your life, something different. They're watching your behavior. See, Paul's been wrecked on this. They're thinking, man, this guy, everyone made it safe. And then all of a sudden, this snake bite him. And they said, man, he must have done something bad. Because he can't escape suffering. He done suffered a shipwreck. Now the snake going to get him in the end. What I'm saying this morning is this. People are watching. These people are watching Paul. People are watching you. To our young members on the call, elementary, junior, high school, college students, foreigners to the truth, are watching your behavior in school. Young people in the church that know the truth. Your mom and dad have taught you the truth. You've been a member of the Church of Christ. Some of you reading scriptures every Sunday morning for us, or Sunday evening. You're involved in worshiping in the church. You're working in the sound room. Or you're working around the table. Young people, to the youth on the call this morning, The people at your school are watching you. Your friends are watching you. Your peers are watching you. I come to recall just this week, Brother Corey LaFall introduced his friend to the truth. There's something that friend saw in Corey to allow him to share. And he invited me to teach him. And I was all led by a young man. And someone who I know cared about his friend, and his friend respected him enough to let him introduce himself to me. And after introducing himself to me, Javonte was obey the gospel. Our new members just obey the gospel. But that was a result of a teenager, a young adult. And to all the young people on the call, people are watching your behavior, things you're doing. And oh, you may not be living a perfect life. However, there are things that you can do that will make a difference in someone's life. And all of us need to keep that in mind. Young, old, no matter what age you are, you're at a point where, like the barbarians were focusing on Paul, thinking something bad, he'd done something wrong. People can look at you and judge you, think, man, he's going through all that struggle. He's going through all of this because of something wrong he did. You know, let's remember something. Or you would go into depression, that everything you did wrong in your life, by God is forgiven. People may not forgive you, but God has forgiven you. And you can learn from those wrongs. And you can help others. But then there are people who are looking at the good in you. They look at your change. They look at where you came from to where you are. There will be people who are listening to you now that maybe wouldn't listen to you 10 years ago because things have changed in your life. So we all have to be aware of the barbarous people around us. They may see us get snake bit. They may see us having trials and tribulations, which we are all going to have. We're going to have those. And people are going to watch how you deal with those trials and those tribulations. See, when the viper of sin, temptations, trials, and tribulations fasten onto you. Notice this. It's a viper. They clamp on you. Like this snake bit Paul. And people watch to see how you deal with that pain. See, when a snake bites, there's a pain in it. It can be deadly, just like trials, just like temptations, just like tribulations, just like death of a loved one can take you in places you've never been. And that's that bite. That's the pain that comes with life. And maybe there's someone on the call today understanding that. You've been hit with something that's very painful as a Christian. And folk are watching how you're going to deal with the pain. Now, everybody deals with pain differently. But the main thing you don't ever want to do is to leave God out. Why? The intent of the bite, of the viper, and for us, it's Satan. Is a deadly, poisonous snake that is intent is to bring us to spiritual death. The intent of this snake, when he bit Paul, was to inject the venom in him to cause Paul to have a physical death. On our job, on your job, in your neighborhood or at school or at church, we come together. Everyone, remember this. People that know you, that know you profess to be a Christian, are watching to see what your reaction will be when trouble comes in your life. How do you deal with it? Now, let's remember this. You get bit with something that's very painful. No one can tell you what your pain feels like because it's yours. It's your pain. For example, maybe someone on the call lost a mother. That pain no one can explain to you because that was your mother. someone who lost a husband or wife, no one can explain or understand your pain. They can't understand it. They can understand what they felt. So you can't interject in their lives your thoughts about how they should handle it. God gives the answer. God is the comforter. We should be there to support and help however we can. But remember, the emphasis here is that people who know, people who see, people are watching to see how you're going to respond, how you're going to react to the pain that came in your life. Is there anybody on the call this morning that understand you're in a place you've never been in because of pain, because of trial, because of tribulation, because of some undue pressures that come up on you? Remember, you have to, if you deal with it with God, like Paul did, he dealt with this viper with God being on his side. He dealt with the shipwreck with God. And no harm came to anyone on the ship. Here's the key. Harlem Heights. Here's the key to the members of the Harlem Heights. And I want you to know, no matter how deep the pain is, never leave the Church of Christ. Never leave God. Never leave God. Stick in there because people are watching. Are you going to leave the Lord? Are you going to stop worshiping? Are you going to go into your own home and never come out? They're looking at you. So that's the point that I want to emphasize. Now let's go back to verse 5. Look what happens here, Paul. And he shook off the beast. Yeah, that's my towel right there. Into the fire. And watch what happened. There was a fire, there was a beast, there was Paul. He's shaking. You can visualize that the beast, the snake, bite his hand. He starts shaking his hand. The beast fell in the fire, not Paul. And Paul didn't feel it. He felt no warmth. Paul shook off the deadly snake bite, which should have inflicted pain and venom to kill him, but he fell no more. Now, here's my question. I go to the young girls on the call. How many young girls can shake off the beast of temptation of sex to avoid the poison of pregnancy? How many can be strong enough to say no? Shake off that beast. How many young boys can shake off the temptation of sex and avoid being a father at a young age? How many young adults can shake off the beast of drugs and alcohol introduced to you by your peers? Shake off the peer pressure. That's a beast. Peer pressure of drugs, alcohol, porn in life to avoid dying in your sin as a young person. How many middle-aged or senior citizens on the call this morning can shake off the beast of pride? Admit. How many fathers can shake off the beast of pride to the point you can admit, you know, I have not been a good father to my children? How about a mother? That beast of pride allowing you not, you wouldn't, the mother you should have been to your children. Who on the call can admit that the beast of shacking, living unmarried, committing adultery, fornicating, lying, cheating, stealing, forsaking the assembly, gossiping, meddling, being messy, destroying lives. You know, when you have to look at this beast, that you got to shake off. You got to shake off pride. When you shake pride off, you can say, I'm sorry. You can say, I made a mistake. You can ask for forgiveness. You can do all that when you shake off the beast. The beast of anger. The beast of retaliation. The beast of unforgiveness. Many members of the church will lose their soul because they can't forgive one person in their life that done them wrong. Could be your sister. Could be your brother. Could be your minister. Could be a member of the church. Could be anyone. Pride stops us from giving forgiveness and asking for forgiveness. We have to shake off these beasts. The beast has got to be identified by you. What is your beast? What is the one thing? Here's how you do it. What is the one thing in your life right now that if you don't shake that beast off, you're going to die in your sin? And you know, I may have not mentioned, I mentioned a lot of things. But if something in your heart of hearts, you know, boy, if I don't get this right, if I don't shake this beast off, it's going to do me a harm. So what's the difference between you and Paul? Paul had God in his life. Paul was focused. When we shake the beast off, it's because God is there with us. You can do it. I can do it. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Here's what I think going to be the problem as your minister. It applies to me as well. If you can't admit what the beast is, you're never going to shake him off. You've got to admit what your beast is. That's the message this morning. Why you got to do that? Because if you don't, if we don't admit what the beast is, it's deadly poison. The end result of a snake bite is death. So from a spiritual perspective, what I'm talking about this morning, the beast has to do with Satan and sin. And anything he can bite us with, his intent is that we don't shake him off. Who on the call this morning can already know? Who on the call this morning can admit you already know what your beast is? Now admit it in your mind. Identify it. What is the beast that if you don't shake him off, gonna be your daily bite? Who can say? I shook off a lot of beasts, Brother Brooke, but this one beast I haven't shook off yet. I know. I understand. But we're talking about getting to heaven. And that's when we have to do it. What does it require to shake off the beast? Repentance. Change your mind. And move on. Because there's another one coming. See, every time you shake one off, something else is going to bite at you. Remember, they ain't always there. There's a lot of things that can shake you up. Temptation, trials, and tribulations. Sore travail, painful events. Let's go back to Acts 28, verse 6. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen. So these people are looking at him. Man, that snake bit him. He ought to be swollen up now. Falling down dead suddenly. This was a deadly viper. I mean, their venom would just immediately kill a person. But after they had looked for a great while and saw no harm come to him, notice what happened. They changed their minds. They said, oh man, he must be a god. He was a god. Look at this. If we stay on course and not break down when trouble comes in our lives, other people could help. Man, he must have God in his life. And they call him a God. But my application is the people that are in the world looking at us, or even in the church, looking at us. Like, people watch how I deal with things. How did Brother Brooks deal with losing his wife? How did he deal with that? Did he shake that beast? Did he have God in his life? You know, even though I may have not dealt with it the way you think I should have dealt with it, the way someone else did? Did I leave God? No. Have I stuck close to God? Yeah. Did I leave the church? No. When you look at this, people are paying attention. And they said, man, he never left the Lord. He stayed with God. However, if every time trouble comes in your life, you leave the church, or you stop coming, or you go in your closet and you leave God out of your life, that's a deadly bite. You didn't shake the beast off. The beast took you away from God, that spiritual death. Now you don't have God. And they're going to say like they did in verse 4. These people saw Paul. Said, no doubt this man is a murderer, who, though he had escaped the sea, yet men just suffered not to live. See, they saw him differently. So if you look at your life now, people are paying attention to how you deal with matters. But if you never love God, don't leave that for them to say. Don't give them that to say about you. I didn't leave. Yes, I went through a nasty divorce. Yes, my husband left me. But I never left God. See? They take that away from people. Don't give them that information. Don't give them that leverage on you. They're going to say, you must be suffering because you're a sinner and you're really not a Christian. Or maybe they would do like these people. They changed their mind. And after they saw Paul's reaction, would people change their mind about you when they see you shake the beast off and then give up? Would people change their minds when they see you shaking off the beast and sin that they knew about you? Family members knew what you were before you became a Christian. They knew what you used to do. They knew your party life. They knew your drinking. They knew how you cussed. They knew what you were doing. They knew how you did all the things, whatever you did. All your family members know it. But they ain't seen the day when you shook the beast off. You start living a good life for God. At some point, the unbeliever, the people who you can affect spiritually, have to see a change in your life. Or they won't change their mind about you. They won't change their mind. No matter if you go to church building or not. If people don't see a change, you can go to church building every Sunday and go back home and be the same way. They're not gonna change their mind about you just because you're going to church building. You have to shake the beast off. They have to see you shake off the beast before they're going to change their mind about you. Let's see what happened in verse 6 again. Howbeit, when they looked, see there? There's a visual. When he should have swollen, they looked for swelling. They looked to see if he was going to fall down. Certainly he did. And after they had looked a great while, people watching to see if he's going to go down. They saw no harm come to him. See that? They changed their mind. There as well. Notice, after these people saw Paul withstood the test, after they saw he shook off the beast, minds changed. How many people in your life have saw your change? To enough, they say, you know what, this brother here, he's not the same guy he used to be. That's my son. I knew what he was like. I knew what kind of life he lived. But after he obeyed the gospel, after he got baptized, there was a noticeable change. And because you changed, they start thinking about making change. If he could do it, I can do it. See? The influence we have on others is when others see change in our minds. When we change our minds, it's when we shake off the beast. Now, my question is, will people around you change their mind because they saw you shake off the beast and start serving God because of the way you shook the beast off? Will people around you serve God because of the way you talk? You shook off that bad way of talking. You shook off the beast of messy, gossiping, backbiting, whispering. You shook all that off. And they can no longer call you a hypocrite, but you shook it off. Will people around you be able to say that? Will people around you be able to say, I saw change in this guy, this woman, to the point, if she can do it, I can do it. What you got to do? Shake off the beast. Will people around you see you shake off the beast to the point you serve God? Because they witnessed change of anger management. Because you dealing with anger, that's swelling. That's the swollen part. When the snake bit him, it was expecting swelling. See, many true Christians can't deal with anger, a bitterness. Can't shake it. Can't shake it because you swell up. When you get bit when somebody did you wrong, you swell up. And the people look and they see it. And many people say, well, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. And that's true. It does say that. But if you keep reading, it says, put away anger. You grow past that at some point in your life. You can't always swell up because things didn't go your way. Or you think someone should have did something differently than what they did. You got to put away anger. You can't ride on that scripture. And that's a mistake by many Christians. They want to ride on the scripture. Be angry, sin not. And that's true. But as you grow, Paul expects you, according to his teaching, to put away anger. What does that mean, Brother Brooks? You got to stop swelling up. You can't swell up every time something don't go your way. You got to put that away. Don't you know what I'm saying is true? You got to put away. You got to put away that bitterness. You got to put away the fact that you want to revenge. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You see that? It don't say be angry and continue. You can't continue being bitter. You can't continue to let your anger lead to wrath, which is revengeful stuff. You can't continue to be bitter all your life. You can't continue to speak evil. But Paul said, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, God for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So this is a new life you're living as a Christian. So you just can't stay in the same place. You got to shake these beasts off and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's what becoming a Christian is all about, putting away these things. Will people around you change their minds about you to serve God? Because they witnessed that you didn't fall dead. See, they witnessed that Paul didn't get swollen. He didn't swell up with a whole bunch of stuff. That's my application. He didn't fall dead. What do you mean? He never left the law. That's deadly. That's falling dead. to whatever pain come in your life when you leave the church. And there are many people in the church of Christ that left the church. Are you one of those people? You're on the call this morning, but you left the Lord. You got bit, swole up, and fell dead. People around you change their mind to serve God because they watched you for a great while. They watched you go through this. They saw you shake off the beast state on the battlefield, even when the battle was tough. Will they be able to say, I've been watching brother, sister, so-and-so keep going? They keep going to that church building. They keep asking for forgiveness. They keep working on trying to get their lives better. Would they eventually say, man, from this sermon, they say, man, I can remember brother so-and-so shook off the beast. Man, he changed. He ain't the same man. He ain't the same person. The new man ought to show up somewhere. Will the foreigners in your life, the strangers that saw Paul in your life, like they saw Paul, will they see you shake off a beast and say, man, my mind is changing by this person? Two main points from this lesson. One, shake off the beast for your own spiritual blessings. Prevention of death. Prevention of spiritual death from dying in your sins. Number two, shake off the beast to influence others who are watching. Whether it be family members, friends, co-workers. Just did a funeral for Anisha's dad Friday. A lot of his co-workers and basketball players came with him. Came to his funeral. But he had some influence on them. And because they loved him or knew him, I knew of him, they were able to hear the sermon that I taught. Because people pay attention to behaviors. They see your life. You can influence others. You've got to shake off these beasts. Just preventing that influence to have an effect on people listening. So, it was only after the people witnessed Paul shake off the beast they see something about this guy is different. See, brothers and sisters, I'm convinced. You don't have to walk around with a sign on your back saying, look at me, I'm a Christian. That's not necessary. They're going to know by the way you act, talk, treat others. People are watching. Who on the call got a beast that you better shake off? And if you don't shake him off, the people watching could be your children, a father, you on the call, the way you treat your wife. That's a beast that's not only going to bite you, but it's going to bite your boy, your son. It's going to bite your daughter. To the mother, to the wife. To the mother, to the wife, and your relationship with your husband, and the way you handle situations, or the way you're unsubmissive, or you don't admire him or respect him or talk down to him. You're always talking down to him in front of the children. If you don't shake that beast off, your little girl is going to be doing the same thing. See, if we don't shake some of these beasts off, others around us are going to get influenced either positively or negatively. And that's what I'm trying to get us to see this morning. You've got to look at yourself, though. So many children are not faithful to the Lord because mama is not faithful to the Lord. Those children are not going to. If they see a man coming in and out of your house, and you're single, and you're supposed to be a Christian, he coming in and out spending the night with you, those kids know that what that means. You got to shake that beast off. Tell him don't come over no more. End it. Same with the brother. You got to end it, brother. That's the only way you're going to, that's people who know are going to be influenced. So Paul We close now. Paul, after Paul changed their minds about it. Now, these people saw him shake off that beast, their minds changed. And Paul was able to bless them at that point. Look at this part, verse 7 through 10. In the same quarters were possessions of chief men of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. The chief man of the island received Paul and the rest of those on the ship and took them for 3 days and lodged and took care of them. And it came to pass that the father, Publius, lay sick of a fever and a bloody flux. He's a very sick man. So Paul is there. Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also who had had diseases in the island came and were healed. Who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. Now, we don't have the ability today, as Paul had, to help people by laying our hands on them. That's gone and over with. We have an influence through the way we live. Notice Paul blessed them, and they blessed him, along with other men on that ship. Do you know that the Church of Christ is a family that's all been through a whole lot of ship of storms in life? I love the song Brother Kirby often sings, "Ride Out the Storm." Everybody in our congregation have gone through storms. All these men on this ship went through storms. Went through that storm that you rock them down. Y'all remember that? And Paul said, just stay on the ship. Don't leave. And we'll be all right. Do you know? Have you realized how much of a blessing it is to be on the ship with others who've shaken off the beast like Paul? Paul blessed them. They blessed him, and he blessed them. Have I blessed you with this lesson this morning? I hope so. I hope so by being real and being forthcoming. I am, and knowing we all on the same ship. We got the same snake that's trying to bite us. That's Satan, that old serpent called the devil. The sin is the venom. But God has given us the ability to shake it off. Shake off the bite of sin. Say, Brother Burke, I need to make a change. Well, let me tell you something. No one ran up to Paul to help him. No one took his hand and started shaking the beast off him. It was all a decision of his own. No matter how much I want to help you, be a better person, become a Christian, to live a different life, to change what's in your mind. I can't do it. You can't help a person who don't want to help themselves. If you don't want to shake your beast off, then this lesson won't help you. But when you can look in that mirror as a mama, as a father, as a husband, as a wife, as a sister, a brother, talking about your family, biological, as a co-worker on your job, as a young man in your school, as a young adult. If you don't understand, when you decide to shake off the beast, God will be there for you. But not until you make the decision. That's what this comes down to. No one's going to grab you on. No one's going to shake it for you. No one's going to scream, shake off the beast. No, he didn't do that, Paul. Paul shook it off because God was with him. He didn't swell up, and he didn't fall dead. Who's on the call? Now, God bid. You swole up now. And you're about to fall dead. Who on the call done? Got bit. Swole up. And left the Lord. You fell dead. Who on the call and got bit by sin? Have never went to God to get forgiveness. You just swole up because you didn't want to be a member of one church. You don't believe in one church. You swole up because you don't believe you got to be baptized. You swole up because you don't believe that the Bible is right. Or you swole up because you don't think you got to be a Christian. Or you swole up because you looked at other people who didn't do what you thought they should have done as a Christian. If you're on the call then you're not a member of the Church of Christ. Or you swole up because I'm telling you the truth this morning. Are you angry? You say, man, I don't believe in the one church. Well, you ain't going to be able to shake off the beast. Until you believe that the word of God is true. What did God say in his word? 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, but to all good works. You got to shake off the beast of unbelief. You got to start believing. Or you going to lose your soul. You just don't be swollen up over the truth. The truth is, to be saved, you have to believe in Jesus who gave his life on Calvary. You got to believe that God gave his only son to save you so you could shake off the beast. You got to believe that. And you got to believe that he stayed on the cross to give you what you needed to shake off the beast of sin. What did he give us? He gave us a love story that we can believe and love him for, that God so loved the world. That he gave his only begotten son to whosoever believes should not perish. You should not perish if you believe. You got to believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died. He was beaten. He was suffering. He carried the tree of the cross to Calvary. You got to believe when he was at Calvary, you got to believe. That the Bible is right, that he did have a crown of thorns on his head, that he was beaten brutally. You got to believe that he did have nails in his hands and his feet. And when you believe that, it's going to prick your heart. And your heart and your mind, you say, man, he went through all that for me. Yes, he went through all that so you could shake off this beast. And when they pierced him inside, John 18:34, I came, blood and water, everything you need has been given to you. So you can shake off the beast of sin. And they took Jesus off that cross and put him in a borrowed tomb, and he resurrected the third day on Sunday morning. That's why we're worshiping this morning on Sunday, because that was the day of resurrection. And he got up with all power, Matthew 28:18. All power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. When you decide to get baptized, you're shaking off the beast. You're shaking off the beast. Then when you get baptized, that's when it happens. Jesus again said in Mark 16:15-16, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Tell the gospel is the story of the love of God and how he gave his son, the sad story that his son had to go all through this so you could shake off the beast and not be swollen up and die. And when you shake that beast off, you'll start shaking your hand after hearing this message. You'll believe it, number two, that's shaking your hand. Number one, you start shaking your hand when you hear the word of God, and you hear the gospel and you believe it. Acts 15:7. Hear the word of the gospel and believe. You're shaking your hand when you hear it. You're shaking him off when you believe. You're shaking him off when you change your mind in repentance. Luke 13:3. And 5G said, I tell you that, except you repent, except you shake this beast off and repent, make a decision that you're ready to change. You're going to perish. That's Luke 13. You're going to swell up and die. You're going to swell up and die. You got to shake that off. You got to repent. So, man, I don't take the Lord's Supper on Sunday. I'm not in the Church of Christ. I'm not in the true church. I have not been baptized. I prayed a sinner's prayer. I never told you to pray a sinner's prayer to be saved. He said, believe and be baptized to be saved. Shake off your unbelief. Shake off what your mom and him taught you. And start believing in the Bible. When you do that, you're shaking that hand. Shaking hand, number one, hearing the gospel. You're shaking it when you believe it. Number three, you're shaking it when you repent of your sin. You're shaking his beats. He ain't off yet. Number four, you're shaking it when you're willing to confess Jesus to be the Son of God. Jesus said, if you confess me before me, I'll confess you before my Father. That's Matthew 10:32. In Acts 8:37, there was a man who wanted to shake off the beast. God sent Philip to him. He told him what I'm telling you, that he preached Christ unto him. Acts 8:35-37. He preached Christ. He believed it. And Philip told him, he said, man, here's some water. What's going to stop you from getting this beast off of me? He said, you got to confess if you believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God. This man was shaking his hand. He was trying to get that beast off. He said, I believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God. When you shake that beast, you shake it off that. You shake it. You start shaking when you hear it. You start shaking when you believe it. You start shaking it when you repent. You start shaking when you make that confession. And here go the beast. Number five, we're going to destroy the beast in baptism. The beast is sin. Satan is defeated. When you go under the water for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, Peter says, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission or the forgiveness of sin. When you got forgiveness of sin, you've shaken off your beast of your past. Everything you ever done wrong, you shook it off. It went away in baptism. That ought to make sense to a child, what I just said. Number one, you shake when you hear. You shake when you believe. You shake in your hand, a three shake when you repent. Fourth shake, confession. Fifth shake, the beast go away in baptism. You contact the blood of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus, the snake and the venom cannot win because the blood of Jesus has saving power. And that blood is in the water. And you believe that by you step into that water, believing blood is in there. And believing my last shake of shaking off the beast. And you rise up in newness of life, sins forgiven. Then the Lord adds you to the body of Christ, the church of Christ. And you continue. If a beast comes, you stay with God, you just shake him. You won't feel no swollen hand. You won't fall dead. You got to keep shaking. A whole lot of shaking going on here. Shaking your hand. Shaking. Shake off the beast. If you're on the call then, you're a Christian. You're a member of the church. You got to shake off a whole some things that stay saved. There's no such thing once saved, always saved. You got to shake off anger, bitterness, whispering, backbiting, unforgiveness. Anything that comes up that's going to prevent you from going to heaven, don't swell up. Don't let it swell you up. And don't let it take you to death. If you're on a call today and you left the church, you swole up and died, but you still got hope. The hope is because you live it, God is giving you a chance to shake off the beast. Maybe you need prayer. Maybe you're dealing with something that's bigger than you. Sometimes life is like that. Sometimes things seem so big and huge. And prayer changes things. So maybe you just need prayer. That we can pray that you can make the decision in your mind to shake off the beast. If you're on a call, you're going through grieving or you're struggling with some things, you can shake the beast off through prayer. Because Jesus, the Bible says, 1 Peter 3:12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and the ears are open to their prayer. Hebrew writer said, God said, he will never leave us nor forsake us. Don't get so depressed that you think God left. He's not going to leave you. You'll leave him. So members of the Church of Christ, if you're on a call, you need to come home. Start shaking your hand and repent this morning and make your confession. What do we have to do as members of the church? Repent and confess. Repentance happens in your mind. Confession happens with your mouth. I've seen you, brothers and sisters. Now I need to shake this beef off because I'm turning up my family. I'm turning up my home. I'm turning up my marriage. And I want to repent. I want to confess it. I'm turning up my life. I'm headed down a dead end road. I need to kick off the beast. It's going to kill us all. If you're on the call, and you're in that state of mind, remember this. Might be the last chance that God gives you to shake out this beast. I hope you've enjoyed the lesson this morning. If you're on the call, not a member of Church of Christ, what we're going to do now, I told you 5 steps that you have to do in order to get into the church. Baptism being the last one. What I want you to do is shake off the beast this morning by repenting of your sin. Saying, I want to be saved. I want to make that confession. I believe Jesus Christ, Son of God, and I want to be baptized. You can let us know by hitting 5-star on your phone. And when you hit that 5-star, that'll tell us that you want to talk. And we'll let you talk to us. And when we let you talk to us, you can tell us that you want to be saved. I just want to be a Christian. I want to shake off this beast I'm dealing with. The beast of addiction, the beast of alcohol, the beast of drugs, the beast of whatever you're doing. We don't need to know all that. You see, I got a beast I'm trying to shake off. And I need to put him to death in baptism. And we'll take you to the building and baptize you today. There's water in the pool. And so that's what you got to do because God commanded it. And members of the church, don't be ashamed to ask for prayer. Matter of fact, I'm going to be the first one since I'm on the call. I need you to pray for me. Pray for me. As we go through life, we're going to need people praying for us as we start trying to shake off the beast. If you shake off the beast, whatever it is, you make sure that you go to God and never leave the church. With that being said, we're going to turn the call back over to our song leader. He's going to lead us in an invitation song and then hit 5-star on your phone. Don't be ashamed to ask for forgiveness. Don't be ashamed to say you need help. Don't be ashamed to ask for prayer. Don't be ashamed to become a Christian. Don't do it. Whatever you do, shake off the beast. Hope you enjoyed the lesson.